Let's join together in prayer now. Let us pray. And Lord, you command us at all times to praise you, even in troubled times, even in troublesome times such as we're living through at this moment. We still praise you. We still give you thanks. We still honor you as we must. For you are God. You are the living and true God. You are the one to whom we call upon, even in this service this evening. And again, Lord, we pray that we will know your presence with us as we have gathered together in your name to worship you. And so, Lord, we pray truly that we will know to whom we are calling, to whom we are worshiping. We're worshiping you, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, one to whom alone we call upon. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon our time of worship this evening. We truly know that blessing that comes from gathering together in your name, even through the means that you've given to us in order to have that coming together as you call us to do, to be at that church, to be called out, to be called out from the world and called to you. And Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we pray for others at this time. We pray for our Queen, and we thank you, Lord, for our testimony. We particularly pray for our message later this evening, that her message will be blessed, and that you will uphold her and her family at this time. We pray for our political leaders. We ask that they will be given wisdom in order to deal with this virus in a way that it truly deals with the problem, in a way that speaks of your giving to them that wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray for those who again have to deal with these difficult matters on the front line. We think of doctors. We pray for nurses. We pray for our paramedics. We pray for our auxiliary staff. We pray for hospital cleaners, hospital porters. We pray for those in every area of the National Health Service, for the management. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct them in all the various and many decisions that they have to make. And Lord, we look to you. You are our very present help in time of trouble. And so, Lord, we look to you for our health, for our strength, that we look to you to protect us, to provide for us. We look to you, O Lord, who deals with us according to your mercy. And so, Lord, we ask that truly we'll know what it means to rest in you. And we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us, even for the blessing of the sun that shines, even for the blessing of all that we see around that speaks of your creation. We thank you, Lord, that you give to us, we truly can enjoy. So hear us, Lord, as we wait upon you, as we read from your word, as we proclaim your word, as we sing from your word, bless each and every aspect of our fellowship, of our worship. Again, Lord, we pray that you will grant blessing upon our time of speaking one with another, our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the means that you give us to communicate one with another. So hear us, Lord, as we turn now to your word. Bless us, each one, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, we pray all these things in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to read from the Old Testament. Last week we were looking at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. We're going to read from Habakkuk again, the first six verses, and then the last four verses. So Habakkuk chapter 3, reading verse 1 to 6, and then 16. To 19. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionath. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Selah, rest. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet, we'll quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And then the afterword to the choir master, the stringed instruments. And it's especially verses 16 to 19 that I want to spend just a relatively short time this evening. You know, it can be a temptation, you know, to grow maybe a little weary when we continually focus on a particular theme, especially when we're going through a particular crisis such as we are at the moment in our own country and indeed throughout the world. You know, the temptation is to think that, you know, we've heard enough about exercising faith in God in troubled times. The temptation, you know, is to think that, well, we know it all, but we don't know it all. And we do need again and again to be reminded of the response that every Christian has to make to what's happening in the world around, to realize that what is happening is under God's providence, and to recognize that as so, and to put our trust and faith in Him in troubled times, to be those truly who are people of the faith. Because, you know, when we think of faith, how faith is demonstrated in Scripture, we see that it runs right through Scripture. You know, think of faith, the faith that's seen in the promises of God. It's the story of Scripture. You see that summarized in Hebrews 11, where the author lists the many heroes of faith, men and women who persevered in faith as they trusted in God, as they placed their hope in Him for salvation, and that salvation that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith exercised by Old Testament saints, and even in the most adverse of circumstances. But even in these adverse circumstances, they still look to God. They still look to God for the fulfillment of their hope in Him. And even as Habakkuk reminds us earlier in his book, he reminds us of that great truth that the just shall live by faith. And you who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you can testify to that faith that saves, that faith that keeps saving, that gifted faith that God's blessed you with, so that you know that you've been made right with God. And it's the great truth that the Apostle Paul wrote of in Romans chapter 5, that great doctrine of justification, that doctrine that tells us that a person has peace with God through the gifted faith that God gives, that we're justified, made right with God through faith. So faith then, that true saving faith in God, is absolutely central to the story of the church. It's that faith that you exercise in believing in the Lord Jesus. It's that faith that we continue to exercise in God as we continue to trust in Him for all things and in all circumstances. Even in the frowning providence, that frowning providence of God that the Christian still has faith in, to know that behind that frowning providence, there hides God's smiling face. And it's that ongoing, sure, steadfast faith in God, that faith in God, even in troubled times. That's what we want to look at in these verses and in Habakkuk chapter 3, these verses 16 to 19. Three headings, as we generally have in our sermon, to look first of all at what we might call patience in the storm that we see in verse 16. And then in verse 17 to 18, these great words, where we see peace in desolation, peace in the desolation. And then verse 19, where we read of power in the Lord. So let's look at verse 16 again. Let's read verse 16 again. I'll just read it, where we see the theme of patience in the storm, where Habakkuk says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. So the prophet Habakkuk's fully aware of the trouble that's about to afflict the nation of Judah, his nation, his people. He knows it's going to be a devastating time. He's been told by God that there's going to be a fierce army from Babylon that's going to invade Judah and to bring absolute havoc upon the nation. And God's told Habakkuk of his judgment. And he's called Habakkuk his prophet of that judgment because the people have been indulging in idolatry. And so God's going to send the fierce Babylonians to punish the people of Judah. Already Habakkuk has pleaded to God for mercy. We saw that last week. In wrath, remember mercy. And Habakkuk acknowledges that God is justified in his wrath, but Habakkuk the prophet is pleading that God will still show mercy to sinful people, even in that time of trouble, that's coming upon the people of Judah. Then Habakkuk's praying now that he prays that a moment, a time of trouble will come upon Judah's enemies, and that the people of Judah are freed from their oppressors. And during that time of waiting on that full force of God's judgment on his enemies, what do we read in verse 16? We see Habakkuk is utterly overwhelmed. He's absolutely distraught at what's about to happen to his people, because there's this impending invasion force that's going to cause so much devastation on the land. And that makes Habakkuk, as we see, physically sick, emotionally sorrowful. You see the language that Habakkuk uses in verse 16. He speaks of his body trembling. I mean, he's literally shaking in sorrow. He's just got no strength left in himself. He's physically and emotionally drained because he's received God's revelation about the future. But despite his feeling distraught, despite his feeling helpless, he will wait patiently for the deliverance of God's people. What he says there, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. That word yet. In other words, despite my trembling, at what I've received from God directly about what's to come, despite that real horror that's awaiting the nation of Judah, Habakkuk says, I will be silent in my waiting for God to intervene. I'll be patient. I'm not going to allow my emotions to overwhelm me. Habakkuk saying, I will wait on the Lord, because Habakkuk knows that God's actions are perfect, God's timing is perfect, God's ways are perfect. Habakkuk knows that God will put an end to the destruction of his people when God does act in mercy. Habakkuk doesn't know how long that's going to be. He doesn't know we're chatting, some of us earlier this morning, Habakkuk doesn't know the details of God's providence, but he knows that God works all things well. And so Habakkuk will continue to trust in God because he knows that God is Lord. And we can apply that even to our own situation today, because it's for you and for me to wait patiently on the Lord, to wait quietly on the Lord, to wait for him and on him during these days, weeks, months even of the difficulties that we're living through. Because we bow before the Lord who does work all things well. And so we wait patiently for him. We wait patiently on him. Wait on him to have his way with the world, to have his way with us as a nation, as a church, as individuals, as families. Because we have to admit that in many ways the unthinkable has happened. It's happened in the world. It's the spread of this coronavirus that's destroyed so many lives and has caused so much distress. But we wait on the Lord quietly. We wait on the Lord with patience because we recognize that God's timing is perfect, even in the matters that we see around us. And so we continue to trust in him, continue to exercise faith in the one true God. And we pray that this crisis will come to an end. And pray that, you know, when we do emerge from these days that we're going through, yes, that we'll continue and maintain and deepen our faith and trust in our God. And that we will acknowledge before him that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I ask you, as I ask myself, are you waiting quietly? Are you waiting with patience on our Lord and Savior in these days? Because that waiting involves surrendering everything to him. That waiting involves resting in the Lord Jesus. And that waiting declares that your faith in God triumphs over every adversity. And so we are to go through this time of waiting, this time that God has given us, to examine our lives. And so I ask you to do that, as I have to ask myself to do this. Examine your life, test your heart, examine your ways, and return to God with all your heart. It's been, what, nearly 2 weeks now since we've been enduring this lockdown. But ask yourself, what have you learned during this time? Have you learned the more to trust in God? Have you deepened your faith in him? Have you bowed in heart before God, who does all things well? I mean, in your patient waiting, have you truly surrendered all to God? God has given us this time to wait upon him, to trust in him, to deepen our faith in him. And ask yourself, is that happening in your life? Are you truly following the Lord Jesus? Are you depending on him for all things? Well, I pray that God will grant you that patient waiting upon him, even in the storm that we're going through. But then secondly, in verses 17 to 18, we see peace in the desolation. Let's read these verses again. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. This, of course, is Habakkuk speaking at a time when the economy was essentially rural. The economy of Judah was centered mainly on the land, the crops that produced the necessity for people to have a livelihood, crops such as the figs or the grapes or the olives, or of course the animals such as the sheep and the cattle. They were all very much the mainstay of Judean society, the Judean economy. But of course, if and when the tragedy occurred, the Babylonians invaded, lives were going to be lost, jobs were going to be lost, health was going to suffer. Even the very lack of animals would mean that that would have an impact on the worship that the people had known, even going through the motions of worship. And, you know, we can project that scenario today in what we're experiencing. Our economy is being damaged by the pestilence, by the virus. Jobs are being lost, health, suffering, even our very worship has been impacted in a way that we wouldn't even envisaged even a few weeks ago. But as with Habakkuk, so with ourselves as we survey the scene around us. Well, look at what Habakkuk's saying as he looks around the impending devastation. He says from the heart, yes, he acknowledges these things are the mainstay of our economy. They've been the mainstay of, the health and wealth and means of worship that they've been so used to. But he knows that ultimately that his existence is not based in these things, but his existence is based on the source of these things. It's in God. And you know, during this time of severe restriction, we have a damaged economy. We have restrictions in every area of our life, even in our normal worship practices. But even in these difficult days, surely we're being taught by God to look to what truly matters, what truly counts, what's truly important in your life, and to find strength in what and who truly matters. And we have to ask, well, what and who truly matters? And of course, it's our Lord and Savior. It's that following him. It's finding our comfort and security. Well, not in a fragile economy. It's not even in our physical well-being. It's not even in the forms of worship that we enjoy. Now, all these things are important. These are all God-given, and we thank God for them. But remember, first and foremost, it's our Lord. And it's his word that truly gives full joy, true joy, and full satisfaction. It's our Lord who brings true contentment. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need bread, of course. We need food to sustain our bodies. We'll pray that as we'll look at on Wednesday evening. We will pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. That's not the be-all and end-all of life. Because the one true God isn't our belly. It's God himself. And so we'll rise above the fear that's so endemic across our land. We'll rise above those things that don't truly satisfy. And we'll have that confidence and trust and joy in the Lord that even in these difficult and dangerous times, we can express, even as Habakkuk expressed in these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Let's look at these words again. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Here's Habakkuk, whose heart is secure in the Lord. Now, of course, he's been afflicted. Yes, he's been overwhelmed. But above all else, he knows that the Lord with whom that he has that relationship, God who's made that covenant with Habakkuk and his people. God is the same covenant God, the God of faithfulness, whom Habakkuk has placed his trust in. Habakkuk knows that he has a secure relationship with God the Lord, the faithful God. And that's surely a comfort for you in all circumstances. Think of the covenant, the blessing of the covenant relationship that you have in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his one and only Son to die for you. He sent his Son so that you be reconciled with God, so that you have peace with God. God sent his Son so that you're made right with God, so that you have that eternal relationship and that eternal love with God. And God's not going to withhold from you every blessing that he showers upon you, even in these times of adversity. You know, I think we often use the expression every blessing. We've used it so often. I've used it so often. I'm sure many of you have used it often when you're wishing God's blessing upon someone for their particular spiritual well-being. But remember, every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's God who's formed that right relationship with you through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And that truth then tells you, just as Paul affirmed in his great letter to the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And since God, who's given to you, who are his, that blessing of salvation in Jesus, since God didn't spare his one and only son, but gave him for you, you have all that you need in Christ. You have all that you need for life, for every circumstance, so that you can declare before a watching world that you're content in the one who's loved you with that everlasting love. And in these days of social economic distress, in these days of human uncertainty, well, you can testify, just as Paul testified in that same section of the letter there in Romans 8, that nothing but nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not tribulation, not suffering, not distress, not deprivation of life's goods, not even danger, no. Your steadfast faith in your Heavenly Father, or in your steadfast faith in your Heavenly Father, as Paul tells us, you're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And let's dwell in that truth. Let's rest in the love that we have in the Lord Jesus. You may well be deprived of so much that we've taken for granted, even in these difficult days. But the one thing that you're never deprived of is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I pray that that truth inspires you and energizes you, that that truth lifts your spirits as you realize what truly does bring joy and eternal satisfaction. And that truth, that knowing that you are more than conquerors through him who loved us, that gives you, if you like, a renewed energy of heart. Because we see that renewed energy in Habakkuk, as he tells us there in verse 19, the heading, the power, that power in the Lord. Look at verse 19. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Habakkuk's actually using military language here. This is the language that's associated with triumph. Triumph in battle as a result of God having given his people the victory. For example, if you look at that expression, to have swift feet like the deer's, that was actually considered one of the qualifications of a soldier in Habakkuk's time, this ability to move fast in the course of battle. And then, he makes me tread in my high places. Again, that spoke of a triumphant army. When an army defeated its enemy in battle, very often the battle would take place in a valley. And to show triumph, or to show an expression of triumph, the triumphant army would go into one of the high ridges and look down in triumph on the valley where that victory had been won. So, I suppose a bit like a victory lap in the Olympics. And so that kind of gesture there in the high places, indicating that they had triumphed over adversity in battle. In other words, that they were conquerors. And you who are in Christ, you know victory through Christ. I mean, Habakkuk could speak of, God giving him that strength to run like the deer and walk in triumph over there in the mountain ridges. And in this time of trouble, then surely we give thanks to God that God gives you that strength to persevere, that strength to show in the world that you're living in, the world so much of that has an element of uncertainty, that you have a sure certainty, that your certainty is on the unfailing love and kindness of God. That love and that kindness sustains you. It enables you to persevere. The love of God preserves you, protects you, provides for you in all your need, and that you can truly say that my cup runs over with his goodness. And I'm sure, like myself, in these present circumstances that we're living in, there have been a measure, a relative measure of problems, maybe even bewilderment. Habakkuk, that's what he experienced when he looked initially at his circumstances. The way out of the valley of despair is that confident trust in the wisdom of God. To have that full awareness of his love for you. That love that won for you your salvation. And that love that keeps you secure in his care. And that love that will never let you go. So in this time of trouble, it is a time of trouble, well, be strong in faith. Be patient. Be patient with God's timing in these days. Continue to wait on the Lord. And be at peace with God, even as you continue to trust that, knowing that his ways are not always our ways, that his ways are perfect for our good, your good, and for God's glory. And yes, be empowered. Be empowered in him to be more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. If you don't have that assurance, if you're listening in and, you know, these days are just days of full of fear and such rampant uncertainty, well, just consider your life and ask yourself what's truly important to you. And realize this, that what truly matters isn't first and foremost material things or even physical well-being. These are important. These are God's gifts to you. But what truly matters is the well-being of your eternal life, your eternal soul. So turn to him. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the one who came to give his life for you. And you'll know that peace in him. You'll know that patience in waiting on him. And you'll know that power that enables you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so may God bless to us this time of worship, this time of fellowship one with another. Let's call upon God in prayer. Let us pray. Then we'll sing again in Psalm 34. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you truly will grant to each and every one of us, even all who are met in this form of worship this evening, grant to us, Lord, we pray, your peace that passes understanding. Lord, grant to your people that power that enables them to do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Lord, help us each one to know your ways, our perfect ways, that you are the one who has given your people that victory in Christ. And so, Lord, teach us in these days to trust in you, to depend on you, to know that truly you do all things well in your perfect providence. Hear us, Lord, as we sing now. Hear us, Lord, as we are about to close the service. And bless us, Lord, in the remainder of this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.